This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Adam Ragusea, in from Meghna Chakrabarty. For years, Massachusetts debated whether or not to allow casino gambling. It seemed to go on and on, and finally, earlier this year, the legislature passed a gambling bill, the governor signed it, and now?
And now the debate is going on and on and on, and this week in Foxborough, it got a whole lot louder, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But nobody in Massachusetts is paying more attention to this issue than Stephen Crosby. He's the man Governor Deval Patrick picked to head the state's new and still forming gaming commission, and he joins us now. And Stephen Crosby, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And we want to invite our listeners in on this conversation. Here's your chance to talk to the man tasked with regulating the state's newest industry, one that will likely become a multi-billion dollar industry. So there's a lot at stake here. What questions do you have? Are you concerned about the potential for corruption, about how casino licenses will be granted, about what you've seen in other states? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Stephen Crosby, let's start with Foxborough. Patriots owner Robert Kraft, casino developer Steve Wynn have proposed building a casino resort not far from Gillette Stadium. A lot of opposition in that town. This week, the Board of Selectmen voted 3-2 against even considering the proposal. So first question, what does the law say about how a developer in a particular community wins a license to develop a casino?
Well, first and foremost, the developer has to work out a plan with a community, either a town like a Foxborough or, in the case of a city like Boston, at least within a ward, and negotiate all the details. They have to correspond. They have to get permission of all the zoning regs, all the various kinds of normal municipal rules and regulations. Then, once that proposal is fine-tuned, they have to present that to the people for a referendum of the town or of a ward and abutting towns. So taking Foxborough as an example, there will be no casino gambling in Foxborough unless and until a firm proposal is approved by the people of Foxborough in a referendum.
So the vote we saw this week was just a vote by the selectmen. Although there seems to be a lot of opposition down there, we still haven't heard from the community at large. So that proposal is still alive, right?
Well, that's not for me to say. That's for Wynn and Kraft and so forth to say. But, I'm sure that every community where this is proposed will have controversy. That's the nature of this particular business. And probably that controversy will go on for some time before a final decision is made. But I don't actually know the ins and outs of how Foxborough might get a referendum if the selectmen are opposed to it. I don't know whether, that would be up to the local laws for each town.
Well, here's the question that comes out of sort of watching the action on the ground in Foxborough, and I know you've been asked this, but it occurred to me right away. What if there's so much opposition, and wherever a casino is proposed, there is going to be opposition? What if there's no place that can agree on having a casino? I mean, what is the law? Does the law address that in any way?
Well, in effect, it does, because if there were no place that wanted to have a casino, there would be no casinos. It's a good question that you ask, because I don't think people understand this. What the law does is permits up to three, one in each of the three regions of the state.
So there might just be one, or there might just be two.
Or there might just be zero. If there were no location where a plan could be approved by the local community. It's an important point that the governor and the legislature made very, very clear in the legislation that without local approval, it won't happen. So the commission's job is not to build casinos. The commission's job is to see that if there are approved proposals for casinos, that the process is done properly.
But it seems like what you just said might give gambling opponents who probably felt they had lost the day when the governor finally signed this bill some hope, in that if they continue to advocate against casinos and continue to whip up opposition against casinos, there may not be casinos after all. I mean,
It's not for me to say, and it's not due to anything I said.
Right.
It's due to the fact that the legislation was written in this way, and that everybody, including the governor who appointed me, feels very clearly that this absolutely should not be forced on a community that doesn't want it. So, yes, your observation is right, that this could possibly mean there were no casinos.
Well, Stephen Crosby, let me ask you just about your background and what you bring to the job and the challenge of this job, which you know, this is a huge challenge, and my hat's off to you. And I almost want to ask, why on earth would you want to do this job?
But you wouldn't be the only person who asked that question.
Well, we'll get to that question, but here's what the Boston Globe said about your selection as the state's new gaming commissioner. The gambling industry has spent millions to expand into Massachusetts. Casino backers will spend millions more to win one of three full casino licenses now up for grabs. It will be Crosby's job to oversee the process of choosing the winners, accomplishing that delicate mission without giving losers reason to think that the fix was in will take extraordinary openness. Is that a fair description of the biggest challenge that you face?
Well, except that it's not Crosby, it'll be the commission.
Right.
And nothing happens without a majority vote of the commission. I'm the chair, but there'll be four other people.
Fair enough.
Beyond that, I think that probably is. I think the developers need to know that this is going to be on the level, that it's a fair game, and that they won't be prejudiced against if they play fair. But also the people of Massachusetts need to know that this is fair. There's a lot of skepticism out there. A lot of suspicion that we'll have the same kind of corruption problems that we've had in other places in state government and that other states have had when we've had casino gambling. So I think that would be our foremost objective, that at the end of the day, the public and the participants came away feeling, okay, this was a fair, clean, transparent, legitimate process.
Mm. We're talking to Stephen Crosby. He's the new gaming commissioner here in Massachusetts. You can join the conversation, 800-423-8255. Let's go to Dina, who's calling from Sutton. Hi, Dina.
Hi. Actually, it's Gina. I just had a question on staffing that will be created in terms of state jobs, and I understand there will be a great economic impact when it comes to building and staffing and maintaining the casinos themselves. But I was wondering what kind of office you anticipate building, and will you have a decentralized or centralized operation?
Thanks, Gina.
I'm just beginning to think about that, Gina, so I don't know for sure. We're looking at other commissions to see what size they are. The legislation mandates certain departments, like a law enforcement department, like a financial department. I would say it will probably be north of 100 people at some point over the next three years. But I don't know that for sure. As far as decentralized, what do you mean, spread around the state?
Yes. Will you have offices throughout the state, or would you like to see it located in Boston or wherever you plan to have your office?
I think as a practical matter, just because of where the density of the population is, that we will probably have the headquarters located in the Boston area. I think the legislation calls for an office of the commission in every casino. So there will for sure be at least a presence on site in whatever regions have a casino. Whether we would go beyond that and have more of a presence regionally, I just don't know yet.
Gina, thanks so much for the call. Stephen Crosby, that same editorial that I was referring to described you as a man with an impressive resume, also pointing out that you have no specific experience overseeing gambling. Then it said,
right,
for this job, distance from the industry is a qualification. But my question, is it also a liability? Are you worried about what you don't know about this industry?
Well, I'm not worried about what I don't know, but I am definitely humble about what I don't know.
Right.
And I don't know much of anything about the industry. But I think what's important to understand is it's not up to me or the commission to determine how many, you know, card games there should be, or, you know, what the inside strategies of gambling. We don't have to know about gambling very much per se. The issues that we mostly need to deal with are broad political, social, economic, cultural issues of what is right for what community and what kind of process will assure what is right for what community. So I think abstract, you know, sort of value judgments and decision making is really the critical variable. We will definitely need expertise in a lot of areas, and in fact one of the commissioners has to have lottery or gaming experience, and we certainly will be hiring firms or individuals who have detailed knowledge of the industry. But for myself, I don't think that is a problem. I think that I come to this with a pretty clean slate As you probably know, I was never a big advocate of casino gambling, although in the end I decided I probably thought it was the right thing to do, to give it this option. But I think approaching it with a clean slate is probably pretty good. And I'm going to want to say to the commissioners and to the public, this is a clean slate. We don't just have to do what everybody else has always done. This is Massachusetts. We have our own distinct culture, our own distinct value structure, our own economic needs, our own particular regions. You know, how can we do this? Is there a way to do this outside the box or better or different?
And what can we learn from other states? There's been a lot of writing, and I'm sure you've already been studying it, the lessons from other states. Pennsylvania comes to mind. This year we learned that this budding gambling industry there can go awry in various ways.
It frequently does. Yep.
And it frequently does. There was a grand jury report. Well, among the results, the commission was unable to deny casino applicants, even to people who had ties to mob, other ethical issues. Anyway, there's a long list of issues that the gaming commission in that state wasn't able to deal with or hasn't been able to deal with in a satisfactory way. What lessons there are there for Massachusetts?
Well, the lessons, I think, are straightforward. You know, we have to make an absolute commitment to fairness, equity, transparency, no inside games. We are mandated by the law to write ethics laws, which are even more rigid than the ethics laws we already have. But I think we have to be realistic that there's a lot of money in play here. There are a lot of powerful, powerful forces in play. And there will be temptations, and it will come from all over the place. And we just have to be incredibly fastidious. But in the final analysis, you know, I can say whatever I want to say, and nobody's going to believe me, and nor should they until this is over.
Sure,
and
the proof is going to be...
The proof is in the eating of the pudding, and the public has every right to hold me and everybody else strictly accountable. And that will not be easy, but I think it's absolutely important.
Does the law do enough, the law is written, to prevent corruption, potential corruption by state politicians? One of the issues when the casino law was being debated was how long a former lawmaker would have to wait before he or she went to work in the gambling industry. At one point, the proposal was 5 years. In their wisdom, lawmakers reduced it to 1 year. Is that enough? Is that a source of concern?
I don't know. I think, you know, one person's 1 year is another person's five. I mean, I don't think it's really a matter of the timing. I mean, one is a minimum, I guess, probably an acceptable minimum. But any system can be corrupted. You know, this is really not about this. We've got lots of rules and regulations. Maybe they should be a little tighter here, there, and everywhere, but it's really not about that. You know, it's about, do the players in charge really mean what they say? The governor and his staff have not said one single word to me about any site, any provider. No legislator has contacted me. No anybody has contacted me on any site, on any provider. And I think, you know, it's the integrity and judgment and wisdom of the people involved that is most critical here. And that's hard to find, but I think that's the only thing that protects us against corruption.
Well, finally, I've got to ask you this. We alluded to this question a little while ago. You've had this terrific job as dean of the McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies at UMass Boston.
A great job, thank you.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Why do you want this job?
Well,
with all of its challenges and potential for complications.
I certainly never thought that I would leave UMass Boston. Now, by the way, I'm not leaving. I'm taking a leave of absence. Mm-hmm. I think that's important for the public to know, because I want everybody to know that if something's happening that I don't like, I can walk from this job. I don't need a job. Ultimately, I love the business of public policy. I love starting things. I love challenges. I believe that government is important and that government can do things right and should do things right. This is a tremendous challenge, and I feel actually kind of lucky to have been asked to take this on at a relatively late stage in my life, much as I hate to leave UMass Boston and McCormick Graduate School.
Well, Stephen Crosby, we wish you all kinds of luck. The state needs you in that position, and good luck to you.
Thanks for coming in. Thank you very much. I hope so.
Stay with us. Coming up, we'll get some ideas about how to spend your New Year's Eve weekend from the Weekly Digs, Hillary Hughes. I'm Anthony Brooks with Adam Raguccio. This is Radio Boston.